Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus, dear friends. The part of God's word that we'll give our attention to today is our first lesson from Jonah chapter 3. I didn't choose these verses for my first sermon here at Christ Alone because there are so many similarities between Jonah's call to Nineveh and my call to Mequon and Thiensville. The fact is, they're not very similar at all. For one, I had a choice to continue serving God's people in Appleton or to begin serving his people here. But it was different for Jonah. God commanded him to go to Nineveh. And when he tried to go in the opposite direction, he realized very quickly that he didn't have a choice. Besides that, God called me to these cities through a congregation of believers who wanted another pastor to come and proclaim God's word to them. The people of Nineveh had no such desire. They didn't ask that Jonah be sent to them, but God sent him anyways. Another difference is that my journey to this place was far less exciting and much easier than Jonah's journey to Nineveh. No storms at sea. In fact, the weather was great. No long and difficult journey on foot, just an easy drive down I-41. I had one night on an air mattress that really didn't hold much air, but I'm sure Jonah would have gladly endured that rather than 3 days in the belly of a fish. There are not many similarities between Jonah's call to Nineveh and my call to this place, but there's at least one, and it's a big one. We were both called to proclaim a message that comes from God. We were both called to preach God's word. And so this is the question that we'll consider today. Does it work? Does God's word really work? You know, we're often confronted with situations where we might find ourselves wondering. At a conference I attended a number of years back, a pastor there shared a story about being with an elderly couple in his congregation when they received the sad news that their two daughters, a son-in-law, and two grandchildren were killed in a car crash. Parents, they say, should not have to bury their children. So what do you say to people who are asked to bury their children and their grandchildren too? Well, when the funeral came, he recalled thinking as he looked at the coffins in the front of the church, three for the adults and one for the two children. There are no words that can cover this, no human words. He would, of course, share God's word with them, but would it work? Maybe you know someone, a family member or friend, whose life is a complete wreck. They're lost, so lost that even though you sincerely want to reach out to them with God's word, you don't really know where you should start. What could you possibly say that might help? The whole situation seems so hopeless. Would God's word really work? Or maybe you wonder this in your own life at times. You find yourself in a situation for which there seems to be no good answer, no clear direction. Or you're struggling again with a sin that has dragged you down countless times before. Now you know, and others have reminded you, to stay close to God's word, to look to him for guidance and comfort and strength. He won't let you down. But your own history seems to tell another story. You wonder, when the situation seems impossible, does God's word really work? Well, let's talk about Jonah. Everyone knows at least one thing about the prophet Jonah, right? I mean, he was the one who was swallowed by a giant fish and then vomited safely onto dry land 3 days later. You probably also remember why this happened. Jonah was running away from the Lord. When God commanded him to go and preach against the city of Nineveh because of its wickedness, Jonah took off in the opposite direction. Now, our first thought might be, well, it's no wonder that Jonah tried to run. God was sending him on what seemed to be an impossible mission. I mean, Nineveh was a great city in the powerful Assyrian Empire, which was well on its way to becoming the next world power. Not only were they a threat to the nation of Israel, they were also well known for their brute military force and cruel treatment of the people that they conquered. Talk about an impossible situation. Why would they ever listen to Jonah? Why would they ever believe the words of God that he had for them? But here's the thing. Jonah wasn't reluctant to go to Nineveh because he feared the word would not work. No, he was convinced that it could. These people might well listen to the message and repent. And if they did, God would surely spare them. That's just the way he is. And in Jonah's sinful, selfish heart, it didn't seem right that God's mercy should be enjoyed by people as wicked and evil as the Assyrians. Well, in chapter 3, after Jonah had been redirected by the fish, we find the Lord giving Jonah his assignment once again. And this time, Jonah would go. And humanly speaking, this truly was a pretty impossible situation. He was one man setting out on a 600-mile journey to call a city of perhaps 500,000 unbelieving people to repentance. But he was armed with the word of God. The message he was to proclaim came directly from God. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Was that his whole message? Just 8 words, only 5 in the Hebrew? Any sermon worth its salt ought to be at least 20 minutes, right? Well, the message recorded in chapter 3 may be just a summary, but even if not, it was still a complete message. It contained both the law and the gospel. The law was clear. God's judgment is coming. On account of your wickedness, the city will be destroyed. But the gospel was also clear. You have 40 days. God is giving you a time of grace to repent, to turn away from your wickedness, and to turn in faith to him. Jonah spoke God's word to the people of Nineveh. But would it work? Well, verse 5 says, the Ninevites believed God. It's not because Jonah was some fantastic preacher. He didn't come up with some masterful plan to convince the people of Nineveh to do what God wanted. He simply preached the word God gave him, and it worked. They believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. The fasting, the sackcloth, the sitting in the dust were all signs of repentance. I mean, imagine all of the 100,000 or so residents of Ozaukee County turning in repentance to God. And here was a single city, perhaps 5 times larger. You know, it's unfortunate that Jonah's time in the belly of the fish is the thing that most people remember about his story. True, that was a great miracle. But what about the miracle of 500,000 people being brought to repentance through the simple law gospel message that Jonah proclaimed? Does it work? Does God's word really work? Well, many doubt it. They claim that such a mass repentance is impossible. And even if the city did respond in some way to Jonah's preaching, who's to say it was sincere? Well, Jesus said it was. When the people of Israel were continuing to reject his call to repentance, Jesus said this: the men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. Besides this, verse 10 tells us that when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented. He had compassion. And he did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. The Ninevites believed God's word, repented of their wickedness, and turned in faith to God. And the God of all grace did not let them down, just as Jonah suspected. Don't underestimate the power of the word. It works. So what about our own impossible situations? You know, we certainly don't always see the same sort of amazing results from God's word that Jonah saw. Maybe we do find the courage and the starting point to speak with that family member or friend. Maybe we succeed in getting them to church or to opening their Bible at home. But then nothing much seems to come from it. And so maybe we figure, if only I had said things better or spoken more convincingly, maybe they would have listened. Or maybe we do turn to God's word for guidance in our own impossible situations. Maybe we do go in repentance to him for the sins we daily commit and listen to his words of pardon and grace. But then nothing much seems to come from it. The situation we're struggling with doesn't change. We don't just suddenly lose our sinful desires, but instead find that they continue to be right there with us. And so the next time someone urges us to go to God's word for guidance and help, their words seem hollow. We doubt its power. But God hasn't promised that the same sort of immediate and impressive results that Jonah saw will be seen in every case. Nor has he promised that we can do anything to make his word more powerful than it already is. The people of Nineveh believed God, not Jonah. The changes they made were the result of God's work in them, not Jonah's or their own. You remember the short parable of the growing seed in Mark chapter 4? There, Jesus compared the proclamation of God's word to a seed that's planted, a seed that has power in itself to spring up, grow, and bear fruit. Whether it's in the heart of a friend or family member, or in our own heart, all we can do, and the very best thing we can do, is plant the seed, share the word, and keep on sharing it. But then, let God do his work. We don't always see or know exactly how that word is working. But over time, God says that seed sprouts and grows and eventually produces fruit. So even when we're not seeing the results, even when the power of the word to bring about change or to provide comfort is not evident to us, still, we dare not underestimate its power. It works. Here's the rest of the story about that elderly couple. The words their pastor shared with them at the funeral were from John chapter 11, Jesus' words to Martha at the death of her brother Lazarus. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." The very next Sunday, they parked their car on the opposite side of the church parking lot next to the cemetery. They got out, stood in silence, and looked at the graves. And then they walked over to the church and worshiped as they had done every other week. After worship, the man got up and said to the congregation, "I want to thank you for all you have done for us. You have been our family." And then he said, "We don't grieve as those who have no hope. Death does not have the last word here. The life we have in Jesus will never, ever end." The pastor said there was never a mightier sermon preached in that church. The word works, even in impossible situations. And we are all proof of this. God's word is clear that by nature, we were all a complete wreck. We were lost, so lost that no human being could ever know where to start to turn things around for us. Humanly speaking, our situation was impossible. Yet here we sit, by God's grace and through the life and death of Jesus. Here we are as his children, forgiven and declared righteous in God's sight, restored and destined for an eternity in heaven. And God's powerful word made it happen. Maybe it was the simple words connected with the waters of your baptism, Or maybe it was the fumbling word spoken by a friend, a family member, or a pastor. But the word was there. It was planted in your heart and then silently took root, sprung up, and grew. Don't underestimate the power of God's word. The fact that you are here today, living in repentance and faith in Jesus, is no less miraculous than the 500,000 in Nineveh who experienced that same power in their own lives. God has already brought you from death to life, and he did it by his powerful word. So when you encounter the person who seems to be a lost cause, when you are confronted with your own impossible struggles and the sins that continue to drag you down, you know where to turn. And as I begin my ministry here at Christ Alone, I know where to turn as well. And in the years ahead, if I ever lose sight of that, I know that you will remind me. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." God's word works. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.